Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, an investigation has been launched after Sweeney's filling station in Termon was targeted in an overnight burglary. An orthopaedic surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has rejected suggestions that more money needs to be put into emergency departments. An Inishowen councillor says local fishermen are in limbo because the issue of fishing rights is being overlooked during ongoing Brexit negotiations. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach has refused a request by Fianna Fáil to consider pausing trade talks between the UK and the EU until there's full consensus on the backstop agreement. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first news, an orthopaedic surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has rejected suggestions that more money needs to be put into emergency departments, saying if there is money to be invested, it should be for surgical beds on hospital wards. Today there were 500 people awaiting admission at hospitals across the country, 12 of them at Letterkenny University Hospital. After last week's record highs, the INMO is warning this is not an indication that the crisis is over, but Minister Simon Harris says the trend is towards falling figures.
But obviously, when you have a situation where you've come out of a long bank holiday weekend, your system tends to be under pressure. But I know that everybody working in our hospital is doing everything they possibly can, and I would hope that we begin to see improvement this week and into next week.
Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Letterkenny surgeon Mr Peter O'Rourke said investing in more hospital beds to allow necessary treatment to take place is the way forward. He says at present, patients with appointments for elective surgery are effectively entered in a lottery.
There's no point in building new emergency departments, staffing them with more consultants, more nurses. What you need to do is put those resources into the infrastructure in the actual hospital so the patients can leave the emergency department. You want to get them out of the emergency department so they can get the proper treatment they want in the general hospital rather than staying in the emergency department either on a trolley or in a bed there. If the hospital needs to take people out of the emergency department, put them in beds, they put them in any bed that is available. And if a bed can be used for a joint replacement or a bed can be used for a patient on a trolley in the emergency department, the patient on the trolley in the emergency department gets preference, and then the surgical patient whose operation was planned gets cancelled. Effectively, if you had sufficient beds, then we could work. Because of lack of beds, there is no bed for us to put our patients in. I mean, last week I did 3 joint replacements. I could have done 5, but 2 were cancelled because of bed issues. The 3 patients went home after 2 days. So basically, my patients occupied less than 1 bed for an entire week. 3 joint replacements were done, but that is more the exception than the rule. It used to be for about the month of January. Now it's for 3 months of the year, if not 4 months of the year. It's almost like a lottery. You almost congratulate them on winning the lottery when a patient gets into a bed for an elective procedure at the moment.
An investigation has been launched after Sweeney's filling station in Termon was broken into overnight. Gardaí have confirmed that thieves gained access to the property via the roof, with a quantity of goods stolen and considerable damage caused to the premises. Anyone with information is asked to contact Milford Garda Station. Donegal Crime Prevention Officer Sergeant Paul Wallace says it's not yet known if this latest break-in is linked to other similar robberies across the county in recent months.
It's a rural location, and again, thieves have got in, did a lot of damage, stole a number of items. We would welcome any information of anyone who was in that area around Barnes, out towards Termon, overnight, particularly maybe from close of business, about 10:30 up to 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
How did they gain access to the property?
Made various attempts to get in, and the property was fairly strong. Doors and that were fairly strong. Eventually then they went to the roof where they gained access, which is similar to what has happened in a number of locations around the county, as you would know, particularly when filling stations are targeted. And they got in there and carried out a considerable amount of damage. Now, thankfully, owners of filling stations and isolated rural shops are heeding the advice that we're telling them not to be keeping large sums of money on the premises. So, thankfully, that message seems to be getting through.
Is there any reason to believe at this early stage that this break-in is linked to the others that have taken place across Donegal?
The scenes of crime people are out having a look. They're doing their examinations, and we'll have to see what they come up with the salient details, you know, the important details of how access was gained and what similarities that we have. So we couldn't comment at this stage.
The Taoiseach has refused a request by Fianna Fáil to consider pausing trade talks between the UK and the EU until there's full consensus on the backstop agreement. The backstop provision would see Northern Ireland aligned with the rules of the EU in the event there's no deal reached on a border. Fianna Fáil's Stephen Donnelly says there's been no progress on the backstop agreement, but Simon Coveney says agreement will have to be reached before moving on to the withdrawal treaty.
Nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And that is very clear from the Barnier Task Force in relation to the withdrawal treaty. And what we are saying here now is that we will have to get agreement on the backstop to ensure that it's legally operable and agreed between the British and the EU negotiating teams. Without that backstop agreement in place in the withdrawal treaty, there will be no withdrawal treaty.
Meanwhile, an initial councillor says fishermen in the area are in limbo because the issue of fishing rights is being overlooked during ongoing Brexit negotiations. While discussions are taking place over the land border between north and south, Councillor Martin McDermott says there are genuine fears among fishermen over possible restrictions at sea post-Brexit, particularly given the extent to which the Irish fleet operates in what would be regarded as British waters. Councillor McDermott says the issue is of huge importance to fishing communities across the peninsula, but nobody at national level seems to be talking about it.
Something that there needs to be very, very strong discussions on. And I feel at the moment that there isn't the strong discussions in relation to the sea border as there is to the hard border on the land. And yes, we all know that the hard border on the land is very, very important. But I think that, you know, both borders should be equally as important, and the discussion should be held on the fact that we do have another border to contend with here, especially in North Donegal. Because, you know, again, it's one of the things that elements of this Brexit that probably affects Donegal more than any other area in the country. And that's my fear, that when it does affect Donegal and doesn't affect the other areas, that it's just left to one side because it's not as important. It's only really important when it comes to the something that's going to harm the likes of Dublin, Galway, Cork and those bigger cities. When these issues are just, you know, Donegal related, that there tend to be left to the sideline. And I think that can't happen here. That's something that needs to be on the table and part of all any discussions that happen with Brexit.
Following a recent rescue operation off the coast of Gweedore, the Ornellaí are stressing the importance of preparation when it comes to water safety. On Sunday morning last, the alarm was raised when a fishing vessel ran aground on rocks off the coast of Gweedore. The Armagh lifeboat and the Bombay Coast Guard rescued the man who had been hanging onto the side of his vessel, bringing him to safety. Nora Flanagan is Armagh lifeboat press officer.
The man did all the right things. He raised the alarm when his boat went on the rocks, and then Malin Head Coast Guard alerted the emergency services. They were on the scene within, I would say, perhaps quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, and everything went very, very smoothly. It was a very calm day. There was no big swell or anything which contributed to the safe rescue, but the wind chill factor was quite bad. It was very, very cold. That was the 18th of March, and it was very cold that day, so that's where the man suffered from hypothermia. Just being outside at all, and apparently, especially on the sea, in that wind chill factor, then there is a risk of hypothermia.
Sinn Féin has called for the Taoiseach to go before the Public Accounts Committee to answer questions on the Strategic Communications Unit. The party's put down a motion to disband the controversial SCU. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says there's an addiction to spin at the heart of the Varadkar government, and he said the cost of it is too high.
€5 million is a lot of money, and Sinn Féin believes that money could have been put to better use. It could fund 1,000 extra community employment places. It could have reversed the cuts that were made to the small schools made a number of years ago. It could introduce a living wage right across the civil service. And that is what annoys people, what angers people. They know that money spent on the Leo Spin Unit is money out of their pockets.
Donegal County Council says a three-year programme promoting sustainable access to uplands and natural environments is proving very successful. The council is one of the partners in the Ascent project, which is now reaching its midway point. Errigal Mountain is one of seven areas of natural beauty in Ireland, Northern Ireland, Finland, Iceland and Norway being examined, with an emphasis on increased visitor numbers and unregulated access. Rosita Mahoney is the project coordinator in the Donegal County Council. She says the council is working with the local community and others to see how best to achieve sustainable access to Errigal.
I think the key to this is to discuss the main objectives coming out of the Ascent project and what will be delivered locally in the context of Errigal Mountain. So in 2017, we engaged extensively with the Errigal Stakeholders Committee. We visited a number of sites in Scotland to view firsthand the techniques and what's appropriate to the conditions in Errigal, environmental designations and so forth. And out of that process, we invited submissions locally to arrive and to gain a consensus really for a single path lane for Errigal in order to address the repair and restoration works that are necessary to limit further damage and also to monitor current use on Errigal. We're reviewing at the minute the environmental assessments to be undertaken with a view then of pursuing to planning consent going forward, and in tandem with that is the development of an integrated management plan really for the long-term management and maintenance of Errigal Mountain.
And in terms of that agreed route, is it the route from the current car park between Glenveagh and Dunluce?
A number of routes, Donal, were considered, the historical routes, the old routes, and we worked proactively with the local community and all relevant agencies on the Errigal Stakeholders Committee. It is going from the car park. I suppose it's going across what we consider the current use area anyway, but it'll be sensitive to the environment and it'll be developed in such a way that it'll be virtually invisible from the current car park.
One of the so-called hooded men says he will fight a European court ruling today with every breath left in his body. Francie McGuigan was one of 14 Irish Catholic men interrogated by the UK government over several days in 1971. The European Court of Human Rights has today upheld a finding made in 1978 that while it amounted to inhumane and degrading treatment, it fell short of the definition of torture. Mr. McGuigan says he isn't giving up.
Torture must be stopped no matter where, no matter by whom, it must be stopped throughout the world. And the European Court have the responsibility of doing that. So I think there's a strong onus on the Irish government to take this appeal and push it for all that it's worth.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and the Pearse and Culla will replay their drawn All-Ireland Club Hurling Final in Portlaoise on Saturday. The game at O'More Park will throw in at 5:30. The game will be played after the Division 2A Hurling League Final meeting of Carlow and Westmeath. And the GAA have confirmed their plans for the league games that fell victim to the weather this past weekend. Wexford and Galway will play their Hurling League Quarter Final on Saturday at Innovate Wexford Park, where there'll be a 3 o'clock start, while Dublin's meeting with Tipperary will serve as a curtain raiser at Croke Park on Sunday with a 1 o'clock throw-in. The semi-finals will now be played the following week, with the final pushed back to April the 7th. And the round 7 football games will go ahead as planned this coming weekend, with the outstanding Division 2 and Division 4 games to be played across Easter weekend if final positions need determining. That would push the football final back a week as well. In rugby, Ian Henderson has become the latest member of Ireland's Grand Slam winning squad to sign a contract extension. The Ulster forward's new deal will keep him at Kingspan Stadium until June of 2021. Captain Rory Best and fullback Rob Kearney have also signed new deals that run until the end of next year's World Cup. And Connacht have signed Australian international centre Kyle Goodwin. The 25-year-old will link up with his new teammates at the sports ground in the summer after 2 years with Super Rugby side Brumbies. Goodwin won a solitary Wallabies cap in their first test with France in November 2016. In other news, former New Zealand international Dylan Micah has died suddenly and unexpectedly at the age of 45. The former flanker played 7 tests for the All Blacks and was a member of their World Cup squad in 1999. Micah played for Samoa before that. New Zealand rugby chief executive Steve Tu has called him a rare talent. Moving on to soccer and the school soccer, FEI Schools Minor Boys National Cup semi-final played today in Gardakegan and Monaghan. St. Columbus College from Stranorlar defeated Patrician Secondary School of Newbridge by 4-0. Callum Gillan with a hat-trick and Kieran Dalton were the goal scorers for St. Columbus. Elsewhere in soccer, Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill says that Liam Kelly turned down the opportunity to be part of the squad for this week's friendly with Turkey. The English-born Reading midfielder has informed the Irish management by text message that he wishes to keep his international options open. Kelly has previously been named in Ireland's squads, but Reading's playoff commitments prevented him from playing a full part. The Irish squad trained in Antilla today ahead of Friday's game. In other news, former Manchester United captain Ray Wilkins reckons that Jose Mourinho is trying to get a positive response from Luke Shaw by repeatedly criticising him in public. He was unimpressed with the England fullback's performance in an FA Cup quarter final win over Brighton and brought him off at half time. It wasn't the first time Mourinho's used the media to have a go at Shaw, with some reports suggesting the player wants to leave. And up in Scotland, former Ibrox boss Walter Smith, he admits he's not sure if Graham Murty will keep his job as Rangers manager after this season. They've lost to rivals Celtic and Kilmarnock in the past 10 days, putting a second place finish in the Scottish Premiership in doubt. On the field tonight in the Irish Premiership, there's one game down for decision. Cliftonville, they play Ballymena. 7:45 is the kickoff time in that one. Moving on to cricket, and Afghanistan have piled more pressure on Ireland ahead of the side's meeting in the World Cup qualifier Super Sixes. Phil Simmons' side were 5-wicket victors over the UAE to keep alive their chances of qualification. For Ireland to finish in the top two, they need to defeat Afghanistan on Friday and hope that the West Indies beat Scotland tomorrow and the UAE defeat Zimbabwe on Thursday. Moving on to boxing, finally this evening, Billy Joe Saunders, his WBO middleweight title defence against Martin Murray that was fixed for April the 14th has been postponed. Saunders injured a hand in training for the fight this week. The pair will instead meet on June the 23rd at London's O2 Arena. That's all your sport this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. There are calls on Donegal County Council to provide urgent funding for repair works on the main Glen Swilly to Kilmacrennan Road. It had been anticipated that Irish Water were to lay a water main there. However, the utility now says that it no longer has plans to do so. As a result, it's too late for the road to be considered in this year's budget. Local councillor James Pat McDade has criticised Irish Water in its delay in notifying the council, but says the local authority need to come up with funding from elsewhere.
Donegal County Council was told to keep the road off the programme. It's only as recent as last week that Donegal County Council has been told that they're no longer using that route. Now this road hasn't made this road the road's programme for this year, so I asked Donegal County Council to ask for emergency funding from Road Central for the part of the road. It's not a long stretch of road, but the road is just in a treacherous condition. It's actually dangerous for road users, walkers and even bicycles as well. It's just very, very, very dangerous state. And for a road carrying such a large volume of traffic, I think it should be prioritised right now and be fixed as soon as possible.
So what now for work on that road if it hasn't been included in that budget?
Irish Water, they're no longer carrying out the works in that particular stretch of the road. It was just a lack of disrespect on their part that they didn't tell the council in better time. And the council could have included the roads for the road programme for this year. So now the council road programme has been already agreed, and we must now prioritise this road now from another source of funding, because it's too busy of a road. There's a large volume of traffic between buses and lorries and people commuting to work. That's why I've asked for reprioritisation of it and for the council to do everything in their power to get money for it, because Irish Water is the cause for the delay, not the local engineers, but it's Irish Water.
Donegal's winter gritting programme is to be discussed at a special workshop in Lifford tomorrow. It follows calls from Councillor Liam Blaney that current gritting routes in the county be discussed at municipal level. However, Donegal County Council has stated that the matter is for council at plenary level. While acknowledging that a lack of resources restricts the local authority from expanding the programme, Councillor Blaney is hopeful that some small amendments will be considered at tomorrow's workshop.
I believe that it should be agreed, first of all, at municipal district level. Because if you go to Lifford, if there's certain areas happy enough with their winter gritting programme, they propose it and second it, the overall programme. And if the majority of people vote for it, we're left in limbo. Anybody wants to get any changes made to the winter gritting programme. I understand it's not easy getting changes to it, because the lorries that is there is at full capacity at the moment. But we're hoping maybe that they will buy in new lorries that will have a larger capacity than what's there at present. And we'll be able to do some of the other routes that a number of us councillors have been looking for years.
And finally for weather, dry and sunny this evening. It will be dry, very cold and frosty for much of tonight also, with lowest temperatures of -2 to 0 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, an orthopaedic surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has rejected suggestions that more money needs to be put into emergency departments, saying if there is money to be invested, it should be for surgical beds on hospital wards. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Letterkenny surgeon Mr. Peter O'Rourke said investing in more hospital beds to allow necessary treatment to take place is the way forward. An investigation has been launched after Sweeney's filling station in Termon was broken into overnight. Gardaí have confirmed that thieves gained access to the property via the roof, with a quantity of goods stolen and considerable damage caused to the premises. An initial councillor says fishermen in the area are in limbo because the issue of fishing rights is being overlooked during ongoing Brexit negotiations. While discussions are taking place over the land border between north and south, Councillor Martin McDermott says there are genuine fears among fishermen over possible restrictions at sea post-Brexit, particularly given the extent to which the Irish fleet operates in what would be regarded as British waters. And following a recent rescue operation off the coast of Gidor, the Ornellay are stressing the importance of preparation when it comes to water safety. On Sunday morning last, the alarm was raised when a fishing vessel ran aground on the rocks off the coast of Gidor. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 20th of March. The death has taken place of Josie Gallagher, née Kelly, 5 Glen Road, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has taken place of Catherine Marie Kitty McLaughlin, Glacroix, Linsford, Buncrana. Removal from McLaughlin's funeral home at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, going to her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Libby Grant, née Duncan, 42, Lisnannan Court, Letterkenny, formerly of New Houses, Carrigans. Libby's remains will repose at her residence from 6 o'clock this evening until Thursday. Service of Thanksgiving on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock in Monrea Presbyterian Church, Carrigans, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11pm to 10am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Bridget McLaughlin, 140 Ford Glen Road, Clody, County Derry. Bridget's remains will repose at her late residence until funeral to St Patrick's Church, Clody, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, with burial in the adjoining cemetery afterwards. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Acute Care at Home Services, Waterside Hospital, care of Carmel O'Neill, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Bridget Duffy, Leifin, Linsford, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Nancy McCready, Clindra, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at Midland's funeral home with rosary at 8 o'clock and again tomorrow from 3 with removal at 6 o'clock to St Patrick's Church, Mina Cross, for 6:30 where she'll repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. The death has taken place of Gilbert Burns, Gorton Asylid, Lenties and formerly Belfast. His remains will repose at Shovlin's funeral home, Sandfield Ardra, until 7 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning to the Methodist Church Ardra for service at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the Church of Ireland Cemetery, Lenties. and the death has taken place of Sister Mary Stanislaus Anna Teresa Carey, Good Shepherd Convent, 38 Dungiven Road, Derry, formerly of Dara, Ennis, County Clare. Sister Stanislaus is reposing at the convent oratory. Her remains will be removed from Good Shepherd Convent at 7:15 this evening, going to St. Columb's Church Waterside for Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon. Funeral afterwards to St. Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore, Derry.